Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from England, we have Sister Rose Rowling. Sister Rose is a novice with the English Dominican Congregation of St. Catherine of Siena, based in Cambridge. Her preaching today is entitled Boundaries.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. Jesus left Gennesaret and set out for the territory of Tyre. There he went into a house and did not want anyone to know he was there, but he could not pass unrecognized. A woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him straight away and came and fell at his feet. Now the woman was a pagan, by birth a Syrophoenician, and she begged him to cast the devil out of her daughter. And he said to her, "The children should be fed first, because it is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the house dogs." But she spoke up. "Ah, yes, sir," she replied, "but the house dogs under the table can eat the children's scraps." And he said to her, "For saying this, you may go home happy. The devil has gone out of your daughter." So she went off to her home and found the child lying on the bed and the devil gone. One of the most helpful books I was given at the start of ministry was a title called Boundaries: When to Say Yes, How to Say No, to Take Control of Your Life, by Dr. Henry Cloud and Dr. John Townsend. The book is about how to set boundaries with biblical reasons. There is the recognition that boundaries, whether physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual, are a biblical principle and an example of authentic love in practice. The authors also recognize that many Christians, especially those in ministry, can fail to realize boundaries in a healthy way. Our boundaries can end up becoming either totally porous or impenetrable. Boundaries are a significant, although implicit, feature in today's gospel. The mother approaching Jesus for the healing of her daughter is already positioned within a series of socio-cultural boundaries. She is a Syrophoenician, a Gentile, and a woman. These are natural boundaries. They are rooted in the biological facts of ethnicity and gender and the geographical reality of a particular place. These natural limitations are integral to our humanity. We are biological beings with definition, embodied and incarnate. We have boundaries. We are not liquid. So boundaries are natural, good, and right things. What turns boundaries into barriers is the way in which they can be used to exclude us. For the mother in the gospel, the embodied reality of her gender and race rendered her an outcast three times over. This is not an unusual situation in our world, even today. The understanding of boundaries as means of exclusion between the sacred and the secular, between races, classes, religion, and gender, is one which presents itself throughout time and space in human culture. Boundaries are often feared precisely because they are associated with exclusion. In Jesus' time, Jewish purity laws insisted on strict regulation in the matters of diet, procreation, and worship. These set clear boundaries between ritual purity and impurity. But in the chapter just prior to today's gospel passage, Jesus talks about the division between clean and unclean, and he makes it clear that it is not what is outside a person which makes someone unclean, but rather what is in the heart which is the decider of impurity. This is an important immediate context to keep in mind when coming to Jesus' response to the woman in the gospel. We must realize that Jesus is not taking issue with anything external about the woman. her ethnicity, gender, or region of origin. Neither is he getting rid of any concept of boundaries between people. He still recognizes that there are things which divide us. Indeed, Jesus manifests his own set of boundaries. He doesn't immediately acquiesce to the request of the mother for the healing of her daughter. Jesus is not simply the on-tap free dispenser of healing remedies, nor is he available at all times. This is right because it is real, it is human, and this sets a good example to all of us trying to live faithfully and fully as human beings entwined in a web of relationships. We don't have unlimited resources to give. Jesus' response also sets a hierarchy of priorities. He makes it clear that he has come to serve the children of Israel first, God's chosen firstborn, and a group to which this woman does not belong. Jesus must fulfill his mission to them and honor God's covenant with them first before scattering himself abroad. Do you find this difficult to digest? I've noticed that this gospel frequently leaves readers surprised, disheartened, or sometimes even angry. Where this is the case, it should cause us to probe deeper into the reasons for our own response. The scriptural texts that challenge us are the ones with the most to teach us, for they highlight what is currently outside our own frame of reference. Could it be that it touches on our own boundary wounds of feeling excluded? Could it be that we expect God to always acquiesce, to give us what we want instantly, to not set limits upon his provision and interaction in our lives? Yet this story does not end here. Healthy boundaries are ones which are firm enough to keep things out, but flexible enough to choose to invite others in. Jesus does heal the woman's daughter by the end of the passage. This is a testament that the spiritual bond of faith and love ultimately transcends all the natural boundaries by which we are separated as human beings. Moreover, Jesus' outreach to the Gentiles doesn't end with the healing of the woman's daughter. In fact, this story is the bridging point from Jesus' ministry to the Jews to his universal mission to all people. This dynamic of simultaneously accepting natural boundaries and then spiritually transcending them is one which we also see in the life of Saint Scholastica, whose feast we keep today. Saint Scholastica is the patron of Benedictine nuns, and it struck me that the Syrophoenician woman was, in many respects, a model of the Benedictine values of perseverance, humility, and intercession. The Syrophoenician woman demonstrated perseverance in asking Jesus for his help, humility in accepting that she did not take first priority, and intercession on behalf of her sick child. But perhaps her crowning virtue is her purity of heart, which is what all of these other virtues are ultimately ordered towards. The Syrophoenician woman attained purity of heart well before her ritually clean contemporaries, for she was able to see and believe the truth of who Jesus really was. For that, she received her reward. The trouble today is that purity of heart is too often equated with sexual morality, which can lead us back to a ritualistic purity. Purity of heart includes the virtues of chastity and modesty, but it is much broader. It is the sum total of a person's whole life. It is for this reason that Jesus says it is a state of blessedness in the Sermon on the Mount, and indeed why, arguably, it is the pinnacle of blessedness, for it is only the pure of heart that will see God in heaven. Purity of heart has always been the central quest of the monastic vocation, as lived by Saint Scholastica and others like her. Monastic tradition has always recognized some form of separation from the world as an integral aid to living out the vocation of wholeheartedly seeking God. This separation is symbolic of and safeguarded by the actual reality and the spiritual principle of enclosure, which is really a boundary of the heart. This boundary, like others, is grounded in the reality of things as they are and their limitations, whilst also being wholly proper to a genuine freedom to love. All Christians are called to practice some form of separation from the world in order to safeguard their love for God. So, on this day, let us pray for the gift of a pure heart. Let us learn the art of good boundaries. And let us give thanks for the presence and witness of Benedictine women in the Church, and invoke the help of their patron, Saint Scholastica.